Thank you. You may be seated. As many of you have done maybe in your home, the Johnsons are going to lead us tonight in the lighting of the final candle. And you say, what final candle? I thought there were only four candles in the Advent wreath. Well, there are. But there's one candle in the very center that makes all the other reasons that we celebrate worthwhile. If you notice, the first week of Advent, the candle was lit of hope, then of love, then of joy, then of peace. And now as we light the center candle, it represents Christ himself. For in Christ alone, we have hope and joy and love and peace in perfect form. Thank you, Johnson family. Let me read just a couple of scriptures to you related to our season of Advent, now about to conclude with Christmas tomorrow. Isaiah 9:6 is, of course, the verse that's most familiar to you. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And these will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then most crucial, I don't know what verse is the most crucial in the entire Bible, but I think this is probably one of them. In John chapter 14, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to be going away. Thomas looks and says, where are you going? We don't know the way. And Jesus then answers in John 14:6 by saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Or put in a positive form, we can come to God the Father through Jesus. Wow, that's something to celebrate this season and every day. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that we can celebrate your birth, but Lord, that it didn't stop there. Your life, your ministry, your death on a cross as payment for the sin that we should have paid for. Your burial. Oh, but then your resurrection. And then your ascension to the Father. And now, Lord, we're at a time that you've promised you will come again. And so we wait. And I just pray, God, that we could live every day in the hope of your return, in the joy of who you are, and in the love of God the Father, who loved us so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. We are so thankful, Lord. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How many of you have seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas? I don't mean that so-called remake with Jim Carrey. I mean the one that God approves. I mean the one, you know what I'm saying, the Dr. Seuss version. I just don't think you can beat that. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas has always been one of my favorites. It's kind of up there between that and Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm not sure which one is my favorite. Don't say Frosty the Snowman, because I cried my eyes out as a kid at that. I said, he's dead! Anyway, sorry, children. But I love How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But, you know, in the last couple of years, it has really kind of made a comeback, all kidding aside, not only with the Jim Carrey film, but just as a book, even, and as TV rerun. It's made quite a comeback. And in this annual Christmas story, the old Grinch, you know, lives on a mountain. He's been annoyed by all of the merriment of the Who village. It drives him crazy that people are so peaceful and so happy that he just can't stand it. And so he's thinking that it's only because of the stuff they're about to get at Christmas. So according to Dr. Seuss, the Grinch's heart is two sizes too small. So the Whoville holiday decorations and all the celebrations and all the singing that they do, it really disturbs him. And most of all, he's really bothered by the noise. He just sees it as noise. Kind of amazing that one of the most aggravating times of year for us today is Christmas time. You ever been on Steel Creek Road anytime recently? You know what I'm talking about. We were over in Rivergate just a few hours ago. We're coming out. My son-in-law said, look, where's that line of traffic going? I said, it's trying to get out of Rivergate. And it's amazing that the time of year where we should be celebrating with the most joy and the most hope and the most peace and the most love can be the most frustrating. So you see, we're not too far off from what Grinch was thinking when the noise was getting on his nerves. If y'all remember in the story, to counteract the Christmas joy, he takes all the decorations and he takes every last present. He takes all their Christmas food. He takes every ounce of Christmas preparation that could be bundled up and taken away. And so the climax of the story, and I don't think I'm ruining it for anybody who's not familiar with the Grinch, I think most people are, is that on Christmas morning, as the sun's coming up and he's looking down in Whoville and he's hoping to see their Christmas Day panic and sorrow, he realizes that even though their things are gone and they've noticed all their stuff's gone, before he can even slink back to his cave and gloat over what he's done, they start singing. And they're singing joyfully all this Christmas music. And they're starting to gather together. I think Dr. Seuss can tell it best. Watch this little clip to remind you of what went on. My mother, when she was living, always used to tell me, and then you'd show this and get up afterwards and ruin it. So I hope I don't. I tell you, that's one of my favorite stories. But they're down there singing. And I just want you to think about this for a second. They're singing and singing and singing. And they're saying that Christmas Day is in our grasp so long as we have hands to clasp. And the Grinch cannot believe his ears. He begins to get furious. But then as you saw, something happens. He suddenly puzzles how Christmas came, and he says that famous quote, I love this, says, it came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And then suddenly he remembers that Christmas is about more than presents or decorations or even a feast. He thought a thought that he's never thought before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, is a little bit more. I'm sure some of you are probably sitting there thinking, now wait a minute, is this a church I came to tonight? Because I don't see baby Jesus in this story. I don't hear about angels. I don't see the wise men. But I believe Dr. Seuss has caught a sense of the true meaning of Christmas here. Because the joy of Christmas is a whole lot more than just a bunch of decorations, as much as I love decorations, and most of us do. It's more than food. It even bothers me when some people say, well, you know, Christmas is all about family. It's good to be with family, but Christmas is even more than just family. No matter what lights or trees or candles you've put up in your house, no matter what your Christmas dinner is, no matter what presents you unwrap tomorrow morning, nothing is more important than the message of God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus. God entered our world, people. Do we even think about what that means? Jesus' birth is the reason that we have to celebrate any of this in the first place. The first Christmas in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Think about this. There weren't bells. There weren't ornaments or trees or stockings or decorations. Luke tells us Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered in a government census-taking event that they were having. And because all the people were traveling back to their hometowns, the inns were full. There wasn't any room left for Mary and Joseph. Y'all know the story. But somehow they managed to find a place to rest in a stable. And it's amazing how clean we make that stable. But that stable was certainly not a very inviting place. Stables smell like, well, stables. Not very inviting for the King of Kings, for the Prince of Peace to enter our universe, for God to become flesh, thus fulfilling all of the prophecies of the Old Testament relating to Messiah. So Mary gives birth to Jesus in that stable, lays him in a manger, the feeding trough for the animals. Again, no Christmas lights, no fleece baby blankets, no baby Einstein videos in the background or anything with cute music lullabies going. No chocolate or bubblegum cigars to celebrate the baby's birth. No in-laws visiting. That was a bright spot in the thing, but anyway, no jingle bells, no Santa Claus, no cousins, no friends, nothing like that. What really mattered on that first Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, we know that. Well, I want you to think about it some more. The angels told the shepherds that a Savior, the Messiah, was born in Bethlehem. They weren't told to bring a baby gift or a fancy present or anything. They weren't told to string lights up around their sheep or to buy a baby monitor for Jesus or anything like that. They were simply told how and where to find him. And that first Christmas was celebrated in the most unlikely place for a baby, much less the Son of God. The Son of God was ushered into this world without so much as an indoor room to sleep in. No elaborate Christmas dinner, no elaborate kitchen table set, nothing. But none of that mattered. The only thing that mattered was the birth of that child, God becoming flesh. No Grinch, and not even a Herod could take that away. The good news was proclaimed, sure enough, on that first Christmas night. And one of the things, the very first thing that was proclaimed is probably one of the most important messages we get from God himself through the angels. Anybody remember the very first thing he says to the shepherds? Hey, figure it out. You're out hanging out on a hillside tending your sheep. It's a quiet night outside of Bethlehem, and all of a sudden the skies open up and some angels are singing and everything. Hello? What's the first thing the angel says to them? Hey, don't be afraid. God, I believe, wants to tell us that over and over and over again. Don't be afraid. I don't mean to harm you. I want to show you who I am. Don't be afraid just because you've seen things happen in my name. that make me look like some legalistic, pound you on the head zealot. I want to show you how much I love you. And I want a relationship with you. Don't be afraid. Do we hear that? Think about that good news. The good news that the angel says to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Messiah, Christ the Lord, the angel said. The good news at Christmas is that we've already received the one true gift that really matters. And sometimes I don't think we really remember that. Now we say we do, but I'm not sure we do. Again, no matter what you unwrap tomorrow, no matter what hopes you have for those gifts, nothing can be more precious than the good news that God came in human flesh to our world. God wrapped himself in human flesh, dwelt among us out of love for us. God entered our world and our existence on that first Christmas night. He put on flesh and blood at Christmas and came to us in baby Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. And you're here this afternoon, late afternoon, to celebrate that good news. So no matter what happens tomorrow, Jesus is real. And he came to us in the flesh. That's part of the good news of that night. But before we finish up here tonight, let me tell you just in a summary form what the total good news is. You ready? Total good news is this. God is God. It's one of the reasons he had to say, don't fear. Don't be afraid. He's God. All of a sudden, we're confronted with the creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the stars, the creator of everything that is, was, and ever will be. And as we're confronted with him, there's one thing that's made clear all throughout Scripture, and that is that we, you and I, are sinful. Now, does anybody disagree with that? Honey, let me ask your mommy. I think she might beg to differ. I mean, we see it from earliest toddlerhood up. You put two kiddos at 1 year old in a baby pen and put one toy in there and watch what happens. It's World War III in the baby pen. And we are born sinful. We rebel. We've gone against the holy God. And there's one thing that's made clear in Scripture, and that is this. Unholy, sinful, rebellious beings cannot come into the presence of a holy God. Oh, shoot. What do? Do we just hope that at the end of times, he's going to have some scale set up? Maybe we've done enough good to outweigh the bad in our life, and that's just going to take us into his presence? Or he's going to be like some grandpa sitting out in front of Cracker Barrel, rocking on a rocking chair, and just say, come on in. He's holy. He's perfect. He's just. He's righteous. And I'm not. And neither are you. So we got a major problem. So God sends Jesus to show us who he is. To show us that he loves us, and it's not his desire for any to perish, but for all of us to have a relationship and to be able to be directly in his presence. And so we have already been judged guilty, as we admit we are. And the penalty of that sin and guilt is death. We have no chance. But God says, I'm going to have my son, Jesus, pay the penalty for Tim, for your sin. For your sin. He said, but I didn't ask him to do that. Isn't that what perfect love is all about? It's not based on how good you are or how much I deserve it or how much I beg and ask. He does it as a perfect, loving Father in God because He loves us. And He wants that relationship with us. And so by sending Jesus to show us who He is, to pay the price for our sin, to die, to be buried, but to rise up again on that third day. And now to sit by the Father and say, yep, I know Him. He's one of mine. Yep, He's one of mine. Come on in. Wow. That really is what Christmas celebration in the big picture is all about. Any of y'all remember the old, first of all, I'm going to date myself here. How many of you even remember the man named Paul Harvey? All right, good. Some of you. Some of you are close to my age, within a generation or two. Paul Harvey used to do a story called The Man and the Birds. You remember that? What a powerful story that represents this fact of what God did very well. Just briefly, what it was is family getting ready to go to church in a snowed-in community, just pouring down snow, and the whole family's getting ready to go, and the mom and the children turn to their daddy and say, hey, you going to go with us? And he says, I don't think I will. I think I'll just stay home. He wasn't much of a church-going person. Didn't really get into so much of the religious stuff. So he decided to sit in by the warm fire and just chill that evening. And he's sitting there, and in the middle of the peaceful moment, all of a sudden, smack, he hears something hit the window. And he looks, and it's a little bird that was trying to fly through the window to get into the warmth of the fire. And he's like, oh, no. And the bird comes up, hits the window again and again. And he's saying, the bird's going to hurt himself. He could even kill himself on this. I need to get outside and try to help this bird. So he gets his clothes on, puts his boots on real quick. He goes outside. He goes over to the little bird. But see, he's a man. And the bird is scared of the man. And so every time he takes a step towards the bird starts going away. And he tries to put down some breadcrumbs or something, tries to get it to follow him, tries to get it to go into a barn so it could at least stay in the warm barn where there's hay and plenty of protection in there. But the bird keeps going away from him and away from him. And finally, he just exclaims in frustration out loud, oh, I wish I could be a bird for just 1 second and let him know, I just want to save him. About that time, the bells of the church began to ring. And the truth hit him. That is exactly what God did. Oh, if I could just become man. And let him see I'm not so distant. I'm not so far away. I do understand. And I still love you. And I still want to prepare a way for you and me to be together for all time. Listen, if all of our celebration is focused on Christmas Day and the celebration of just this one day of Christmas, then I got some real negative news for you. In about 24 hours, it's all going to be over. But if we focus on the true reason that we're celebrating, the incarnation of God in human flesh, this Christmas message can last year-round. No, all our life. A lot of people miss the main event and the real reason of His birth then. It was to grow, to die, to pay the price for our sins so that we may live. Many miss the main event when He came, even when He rode into Jerusalem. In fact, here's some scripture I'm going to close with today. And I'm going to close out right after the scripture. This is not a Christmas passage, so to speak. And many of you are going to think, well, why in the world is He using this passage? I want you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Mark 11. And we're going to start with the very first verse. And we're going to read 11 verses. Look at this with me. As Jesus and His disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you'll see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. Is this getting familiar to you now? This is Palm Sunday stuff. You remember? Okay. The two disciples left, found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? And they said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. So then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming king of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem, went to the temple, and after looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. He returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. They wanted a celebration. They wanted a big party. They wanted a king for a day. They wanted a political ruler for their own personal gain, to get back at those pesky Romans and finally be number one again. The University of Georgia says that every year. You know, we can just get back at those pesky Clemson Tigers or Alabama Crimson Tide or something. We can be number one again. After all, it's only been 39 years, but who's counting? But folks, they were looking for this spectacular king political savior figure. And they missed the real reason Jesus came. A lot of people, listen to me, a lot of people this year are going to celebrate. A lot of people this year are going to party. A lot of people this year are going to eat a lot, drink a lot, sing a lot, have a whole lot of fun and guests and great things. But there's still a chance that you could miss the main event. Just like they did 2,000 years ago when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Do not miss the main event of Christmas. It is Jesus. Many will also miss the main event when he comes again, as he assures us he will in John 14 as well as in other scriptures. Could it be that we have spent more time preparing to celebrate a glorious event that took place in the past than we spend preparing for an event that just as certainly will take place any time now? What is that? Jesus promised he is coming again. He was the main event, is the main event, and still will be the main event. Scripture even says that one day, every person, not just Christians, every person will bow a knee, bow their head before their king, and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. He's the main event. He's the reason for the season. Do not focus on the sideshows and miss the main event. Do not miss him. As we focus on him, may God bless your celebration in your families, at your dinner table, certainly. But even before you go ripping the papers open and see, that already makes me nervous because I'm OCD. We have to have the trash bag ready, and one person at a time is allowed to open a gift. And everybody has to stare at that person and watch them open that gift until they've gotten it open and thrown it away. It is done in order. I got an amen on that. But before you even go into that, can I challenge you to do something? Fathers, mothers, grandparents, will you remember whose birthday we're celebrating? Amen! You got it right, baby! You thought that was spontaneous. We had that all worked out. And as you remember Jesus, listen, does it not just make sense that the person whose birthday is being celebrated gets the best present? You say, well, what can I give Jesus? He doesn't want your silver and gold. He doesn't want us all to sell all our possessions and go move out into a desert and wait for him to come again. He wants a relationship with you. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him like he loves you. I pray in Jesus' name that you will see that clearly this year. Maybe some of you for the first time, and maybe some of you just need to be reminded. I'm going to pray with us, and in just a moment, I'm going to light this candle. And I want to show you by the lighting of this candle what can happen, not just here at Tiga K Baptist Church, but in this world, if one person will take the life-changing light of Jesus Christ and pass it on to someone else, you will not believe the bright light that will shine all around us. Stand with me as we pray. Then we'll light this candle and we'll sing Silent Night together. Join me as we pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that if there is anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that this might be the day, not the year, the day, the evening that they come to know you. I pray, God, that if anyone here has had doubts of your love, doubts of your gift to us, doubts even of your existence, that maybe you've spoken to them in their hearts tonight to let them know not only are you real, but you love them. And you want them to turn away from their life and walk as a follower of yours because of love. God, I pray that even in this silent atmosphere of singing a song like Silent Night, that it will be anything but silent in the way we live our lives in here and as we go out into this world. Be our light. Be our life. May we follow you in Jesus' name. As the candle is lit through the Christ candle, I want to pass this on. Y'all can turn behind you. And turn behind you and spread it.
Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
God bless you all. May Jesus be the main event in your Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. Good night. Was there another verse?